The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
End of the world. Yep, this is me, Mike Rupert. It is Sunday, June the 12th, 2011. I've just taken a few days off and need to do that every once in a while. And I've just spent the weekend at the Harmony Festival up here at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. 15,000, 20,000 people. Incredible stage music, four or five different stages, and just a really good place to clear your head and enjoy some great weather, and you know what? We all need to do that now. Listen, tonight, everybody get your pencils out or your notepads. Got a pretty big announcement. We have a guest coming up. 2 weeks from tonight, my guest on the Lifeboat Hour will be Max Kaiser of the Kaiser Report and RTTV. For those of you who follow our little band of evolving post-petroleum humans, Max is one of our idols and one of our heroes, and he's just recently lost it, and he just did a beautiful report which we put up on CollapseNet, and he's irreverent, he's absolutely witty, and probably as crazy as I am. I don't know, we will find out, but that's 2 weeks from tonight on June 26th. We're going to pre-record on Monday because he's in Paris, but that's going to be a big plus for us. Okay, so I was talking to Gary before the show, at the end of his show, and this story, on June 7th, the Energy Bulletin posted this story: will the transition movement be the Tea Party's next target? Well, of course, that's one of those where you go, again, you know, you kind of, what? And there's a YouTube video attached. You can still get to that story from the CollapseNet homepage. That's down toward the bottom under recent feature articles, because I wrote something pretty hot after that. But anyway, this cretin goes on the air, says, holding up charts that have nothing to do with anything, accusing the Post-Carbon Institute and the transition movement, I can barely say this, of being part of UN Agenda 21 to seize everybody's land. And he showed up, he held up a, I think it's about a 10-year-old chart that that had to do with some 501c3 funded organizations and charities that do connect to, you know, but no link to post-carbon, but that's what the allegation was. And so, you know, I can really see Richard Heinberg as being like someone who really wants to take everybody's land away. And same with Caroline Staden over at Transition US. They've been on our show a few times, that we helped them with a fundraising drive last year. But you know what went through my head was very clearly, I was I've been around politics for a long time, if you followed me, but in 1992 I was the Los Angeles County press spokesman for the Perot presidential campaign, which effectively made me the California press spokesman. And I've seen dirty politics, and I know how Tea Party works, and how the bullies work, and they start throwing out crap like this, and if there's no resistance, they throw more crap, and they keep throwing it, and they keep throwing until they get resistance, but then they have the momentum. So these people need to be stopped, and that's what I did. I posted a pretty healthy opinion piece on this. I'll wait for these people to come after me. I mean, come on. Richard Heinberg and the Post-Carbon Institute, all those great people there are in nearby Santa Rosa. And the headquarters of Transition US are right here in Sebastopol, where I recently moved. You guys smell something funny about that? But I think we all need to be aware that as the situation out there deteriorates, which it's doing, as we all know, very rapidly right now, we can't expect these kinds of incursion, because the power now is for control of local governments, and local governments are the last battleground, and we have to be prepared for this, and I guess that's kind of my job. So here I am with all these members of the UN out here. Yep, okay. It is the 1 year, or we had this week on June the 7th, the 1 year anniversary of CollapseNet. And it's a really wonderful thing. We're now over 4,800 members. We're in 63 countries around the world. Our services are growing. And we have an article that went up today celebrating our first year of operation with great thanks to all the people who have helped us and who have been part of this amazing journey that we have at CollapseNet. That would include Carolyn Baker and Wes Miller, and all of them are interviewed in the great piece we have up there, along with a lot of their fresh stuff for you. We are making some changes. Excuse me, hold on a sec. Needed a sip. We are making some changes on the World News Desk because of the way things are shaking out around the world right now. We have two new subcategories on the World News Desk every day, which is for our members, as they all know, it's like been the place to like just having a program for everything that's been going on lately. We've added the categories of spreading civil unrest, because it's breaking out in so many places around the world that it's pretty clear we need to put them in one place so that we can see on a daily basis how they're spreading and how they're growing. And we've also added a new category for infrastructure scavenging. These incidents, too, where people take railroad tracks, transformers, copper wire, etc., are spreading around the world. We can't find all of them, but the number that we can find is increasing rapidly, and I think that's something. Those are two issues that we all really need to have really high up on our list of things to be preparing for, because I think it's going to get, I think we all know it's going to get pretty bad pretty quick. Speaking of the spreading civil unrest in China, this is from the Wall Street Journal today. This is by Jeremy Page in Beijing and James Aretti in Shanghai. A man seeking revenge on society, in quotes, set off at least one bomb outside a local government headquarters in northeastern China. State media reported the latest in a spate of violent incidents that highlight growing anger at official corruption and abuse of power. China is really starting to explode. We're having more stories about unrest in China on a daily basis. And so we're watching that. So forget the Arab association with anything. This is becoming a global event. And this is not very Arab either, but Greek economy grinding to a halt as daily protests cripple industrial production. This is by Tyler Durden, the infamous Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge, which ran on June the 8th. And what's happened is that the revolution in Greece has gotten so bad that all the factories are shutting down, and their factories are about 90% shut down now. That's not mild civil unrest. That's called a revolution. I think the Romanov family in Russia would probably agree that when the protests get so bad that nothing works and the factories shut down, it's done. So this is all going to get real fun, real fast. Now, what I've got tonight, there's no guest tonight, so if you got a question, and I've already got three questions lined up, love you guys when you send them to me even beforehand, you can call in at 1-888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. I'll get to the questions here in just a second, but I got a special treat for you guys tonight. We have a brand new song to play for you. It's a song that that I recorded at what I had called my home for a long time, Venice Beach, on the day that I moved out of Venice Beach, March 30th. If you go back in my long story, what set me off on this odyssey to being where I am now happened in 1975 when I met a woman who lived in Venice, and I graduated from Venice High School. So this is a long history. And it's a blues song. It's a 12-bar blues. We recorded it March 30th. It's me on the vocals. I wrote the words. Brian Auger played the Hammond organ, the infamous Brian Auger. Thank you, Brian. Julian Coryell on guitars. Andreas Geck on bass. Karma Auger on drums, and this was recorded and engineered and produced by Karma Auger at Ghost Town Studios in Venice, California. Here we go, Venice Boardwalk Blues.
I'm looking for my baby.
radio show is going to be a little more easy to take. We consider all the bad news we've got to talk about. Blues always helps a lot. That's Venice Boardwalk Blues. Special thanks to Brian Auger, legendary keyboard player, plays with Eric Burton of the Animals, and it's just what a blessing to have had this happen. I'm glad to share it with you guys. It's not up on iTunes or anything yet. I got to figure that out, but we will get it up. But you heard it here first. I wanted to share it with you guys. Okay, now we got somebody on hold. I'm going to get to that real quick. We got Rob from New York. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking the call, Michael.
All right, how are you?
Good. Two quick questions. Actually, on my way back to the city from building my lifeboat up in upstate New York.
Cool.
First question is, have you heard of this term, peak oxygen?
No, but like Richard Heinberg says, you know, that we're at peak everything. So I'm just assuming that for every vital substance that's out there.
What I found about it, I heard someone talking about it, was that a combination of just, you know, all the burning of fuels, slash and burning of forests, dead zones in the ocean, is that, you know, potentially the Earth's oxygen is actually, the percentage is going down. It's already, in certain cities, it's lower. And perhaps even globally it could become a problem. I was just wondering what you think about that. First question.
What I think is that Mother Earth is extremely out of balance everywhere, as evidenced by things that we're seeing all over the place. And I think that she's taking corrective and balancing measures. And I think that we need to expect a lot of serious issues arising as a result of that. But as long as we understand that it's part of a larger process of a living planet, in my opinion, restoring its own balance, that makes everything a little bit easier to chew. What else you got?
Okay, the other one, along the same lines, is that as the oil supply begins to then decline rapidly, will there be, for a time period at least, more environmental destruction because there'll be a push to, you know, to more in environmental devastation, burning of other different fuels, for example, trees. So will there be that period in the transition that there'll be just, you know, an environmental holocaust?
This was discussed a long, long time ago. I remember talking about it with Colin Campbell and Matt Simmons, and everybody in the Peak Oil Movement was clearly aware that in our desperation, as things got bad, look at all the emails coming in, holy moly, as things got really bad, that and there were shortages of other fuels, that we would revert to coal and much dirtier means in a desperate measure to put fingers and elbows and body parts in the dike. So this is only going to accelerate. I mean, this everything is going to get messier real fast. I got a whole bunch of stuff lined up here, Rob. Let me
thank you.
Okay, man. Thank you. Okay. All right, I had all these great stories here tonight that we were going to go through that were so much fun, but I got to get to some questions here. I've got like eight already. Okay. Hi, Mike. This will be a bit long. John. But I think it's pertinent to the current status of many CollapseNet members. After I awoke, in quotes, in January 2011 and started my transition, I was panicked but remained focused on preparation. I now grow our own food, have weapons, precious metal skills, stored food, and the mindset to get through the collapse. After this, I realized that being ex-military, my skill sets could be a huge learning benefit to others. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. And have started a transition group in my local area to build community and educate and learn from others. My main question is more of a directive question to which I know the seems to, okay, how can lifeboaters and transition groups find like-minded support for our movement? I've been relying on social media, such as Facebook, meetup groups, etc., but I found many people start preparations, then feel they stagnate. Their group meetings help me share my insight and foster community relationships. Okay, well, of course, you know that at CollapseNet, we put you in direct touch with other members who are close to you. We have a proprietary software that will locate you in relation to your neighbors without giving away your vital information. So that you can know who's close by, and you can reach a whole bunch of people who are already pretty much energized and running at various speeds, but they're certainly not the slowest campers. Okay, let's go back here. It's about 6:24. Okay, we got a bunch to tick off. Here's one from Arthur Hancock. Short question: when will quarterly earnings reports cause a dumping of high-end stock portfolios Is this already happening? Quarterly reports don't come out by a clock. That's the problem. Every corporation starts a clock when their papers of incorporation are filed, so they don't all fall due on the same day. I picked July, which I'm really sticking to, as the time when everything would come unglued in the markets, and we would see a devastating fallout from that as July, because that just encompassed the whole an entire 3 month period, so that any company would have to issue a report by July. That's when the bulk of them are going to come in. Okay, Lawrence from Minnesota on the Mississippi. Hello, Mike. Thanks for the movie Collapse. It was the movie that made all the pieces of the puzzle come together for me, like a slap in the face. Sorry, buddy. How long can you store wheat? Good question. Is it a grain that keeps well if stored? I would like to add more to my supplies. I really like wheat because you can cook and eat the wheat kernels or grind it into flour to use, sprout, etc. You know, I don't know the answer to that, and maybe someone will send something in. If I don't get to it tonight, I'll read the answer on the air next week. Let's see what else we got. Wow, this is cool. You messages are piling in. Hi, everybody. Okay, we just did that one. Hold on. Dmitry Orlov. Oh, somebody sent me an email. Dmitry, I heard the recording of your talk recently on May 22nd, I think. Yes, at the event in California. Where can I find Dmitry's talk? That's from Gauss, Resigno. That's all being done by Peak Moment TV, Janiah Donaldson, and if you Google them, you'll find them. I think it's Peak. Google them first. You'll get there. And it may already be up there. They've given us footage. We had two other cameras, and we are producing our own DVD of the speech, which will be ready in a couple of weeks. Dmitry, he gave a killer talk there too, with his classic Dmitry Orlov humor. Okay, where are we? We got questions on the phone. All right, we have, who's up first? John from Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Are you there?
Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
This is like the fourth time I called. I hope I'm not being a pest or anything, but
no, man, it's all right.
Nice blues song too. I really like that.
Thank you. That was fun.
It sounds like it was. Listen, I have a question. I'm really torn between a decision. I have an apartment in East Falls, in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good sense of community, a very strong sense of community there. There's a lot of people that are a little tougher people. Then I have Plymouth Meeting, where my dad lives, in the suburbs. There's a little more room. You know, there's open space, and the people are a little more educated and a little more passive, but there's no sense of community. I want to move out of here altogether, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. If you had to make a choice between those two things, what would you choose?
That's a good question. That's a great question. And again, there's variables involved, because I don't know what kind of independent food supply you have, what kind of independent water supply you have with your homies in the city.
Yeah, I have things stored. I do have a lot of canned goods and a lot of other things that I got from Nitro Pack that are stored and stuff. And I'm just confused of which would be, in the shorter term, a better place to be.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and you phrased it right. I'm not sure I can give you the answer, because you might stand a better chance. The cities are going to be horrendous, and the deeper you are in a city, the more trouble you're going to have more quickly. But as you move to the suburbs, you know, you're out living with the zombies and people who just haven't got a clue as to what's going on.
Right.
But you know, you might be closer to being able to get out of the metropolitan area if you had to, rather than.
Yeah, I'm trying to get up to the up into the Blue Mountains area of Pennsylvania, but that involves another family member, and they're just not getting it fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just thought I'd run it by you.
Yeah, that's just how I would go through my own decision process with that. But homies are so essential to us. It's too bad we might not be able to take them all with us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've got more calls backed up, man. Let me go on.
Hey,
thank you for calling
take
in.
Take care.
All right. Jeff from Indiana. Are you there?
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, thank you for everything. Congratulations on the year. Can't thank you enough for what you're doing and the information you're getting out there.
So, we try.
Want to get that in there. Quickly, just to make you aware of some things going on here, I live probably about half an hour from a Honda plant and have known somebody there, and yeah, they've been very slow. People take them voluntary layoffs, that type of thing. And recently, it sounds like they're getting ready to hire for a second shift. They've advertised it. Supposedly, they've got a second shift starting up in August, and they think they're going to go full bore again. So I didn't know if you had heard anything of any supply chains loosening up. I don't know, maybe if this is an attempt to make up for cars they can't make in Japan, or, you know, even at this point, if they can start making cars again in August, is it too little too late? You know,
yeah, it's very hard to say. All the stories that we have on the World News Desk at CollapseNet, the ones that I'm reading every day, show that there's been no significant fix anywhere in the supply chain issues that are still kicking ass around the world.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They might have done a fix for one stream of supply, one particular part, and found that they could get one plant started. I don't know. There's a whole lot of variables in there. I mean, I hope so for the sake of the people that have jobs there. But it's not going to last that long. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah.
So, wanted to pass that along. So, again, thank you for everything you do.
Cool, Matt. Thank you very much. Okay, we got emails piling in still. We have from Bill. Let me expand the window so I can read his last name. Bill Tarecki to Lifeboat Hour. When the system does start to collapse, will it be hard and fast, i.e. 48 hours, or weeks or months, and will martial law be implemented? Well, would take a lot of answers. A fast crash, dude, is like 2 years. Because the end result is probably going to be a big pile of rubble. 48 hours, I don't know what would rise out of that. A slower crash is a period of, 3, 5, 10 years before we get back to something like a steady state economy. Martial law, as I've written many times on the CollapseNet pages, is something that may be painful, but it will be brief because the resources are not there to sustain it. That simple. From Ryan McNay to the Lifeboat Hour, have you seen the National Inflation Association's video, The Day the Dollar Died? No. Did you see the crash happening with that speed and force, or do you think it will be more incremental and drawn out? Again, everybody just needs to focus on this summer. I am very clear, and I'm trying to say this as clearly as I possibly can. This summer, July, by end of July, the world is going to be in an absolute tailspin. It may not have hit the ground yet, but it will be in an absolute tailspin, and things will be degenerating very rapidly by that point. So we only got a little while to wait, and I do not see it being incremental and drawn out, except for the fact that there may be many layers of falling, a few, before we get to rubble. But this next one is going to leave us all breathless. Let's worry about that one first. From Chris Strapper to the Lifeboat Hour, thank you for all your help. While investing in gold and silver, do you want bars, coins, or some other form? It don't matter, brother, as long as it's bullion. As long as it's physical metal that you've got, it doesn't make any difference. Mix them up any way you want to. Just make sure you're not looking at paper. Okay. And email's still coming in. Listen, we're just we missed a break, and I very much want to do that tonight because a lot of people flock into this network now, and we want them to have their time to tell you who they are because they're helping us all. We're going to do a break. I'll be back in a minute.
To the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary. Hello, I'm Carol Brier, host of Community Currency, connecting people, ideas, important information, nurturing human renaissance, seeking to transform disintegrating empire into healthy, problem-solving, creative, evolutionary, peaceful communities. To hear us, listen every Thursdays, 5 to 6 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
John Mapaport. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN, I'll be revealing secrets, deceptions, and hoaxes of the medical cartel. I've been covering this waterfront for 30 years as a reporter, and I know where the bodies are buried. With guests and commentary, I'll rip open the lid on vaccines, psychiatric drugs, the FDA, pharmaceutical companies, germ research, and media cover-ups. Don't check your brain at the door. Tune it up. Every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern on PRN, The John Rappaport Show.
Don't miss out on Dr. Michio Kaku's weekly show, Explorations. Dr. Kaku is the only scientist with his own nationally syndicated radio show. Explorations is the program that explains complex physics with an accessible approach. So take an exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku, Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to discuss topics ranging from space exploration to stem cell research.
Listening to the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
CD, Double Wide. That's my band. That's the band I was in before I left California. Was a band, but that's all right. The music still rocks. You can find the songs from New White Trash at www.newwhitetrash.com. Okay, we've still got the emails coming in. Let's get back to those. Also, one of the stories that I wanted to bring up real quick, this one just cracked me up yesterday when I saw my take of stories for the World News Desk. Everybody's talking about how polite and organized and restrained and Japan is, and they don't. Okay, well, it turns out that 150 anti-riot and SWAT police are going to be sent to the TEPCO shareholders meeting next week. I had to bring that one up. Okay, back to emails. What do we got here? We got from Pablo Pinero. Very nice song, man. Oh yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm a real lucky dude with that, and it was so much fun. Michael Snellings, hi Mike. I first met you when I was attending Tom Brown Jr.'s advanced standard class in 2010, and it was awesome having met you and having you sign your book Collapse for me. Confronting Collapse. What is your take on what Lindsey Williams has to say about oil, the destruction of the U.S. economy as a means to usher in the New World Order? Thanks for answering my question. I put no credence in that. And I've been saying that pretty clearly. There will be something that somebody may say it's a new world order, but it's an absolutely, totally transitory phase of collapse. It is not an end product. It is not an objective. There will not be the resources to sustain that kind of a new world order unless you want to call the new world order the collapse of human industrial civilization. With as many as 5 to 6 billion people potentially starving to death. But that doesn't sound like order to me. So that's another reason why I don't ascribe to that belief. Okay, we got another one. We got an email from Joey Z, who says, Mike, my name is Joe. I'm from Danielsville, Georgia, and I've been following your writing and work for about a year now. However, I'm not embarrassed to admit that I'm a new member of CollapseNet. It's a great place. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Matt. And to thank you on behalf of all the 20 of us at CollapseNet. Everybody should go read that anniversary article we have on the homepage there. My question is, I know things are starting to get really serious with the economy and the world in general. Indeed, they are. I have 70 acres, hand tools to work it, access to clean groundwater, and a small stream and a pond. You lucky bastard. I have about 3 months' worth of food collected and seeds, a shotgun, 22 rifle, 22 pistol, 380 pistol. With the economy dead, funds here are pretty low. I have about 1,000 that I can apply to something. Should I hold the cash or buy tangibles? If tangibles, then what else would you recommend? Really appreciate all the work you're doing. Thanks for opening eyes and lighting the path to the truth. Okay. 1,000 is not a lot of money, and I'm also recommending, as is Nicole Foss, who just stayed with me here for a few days at my house in Sebastopol, where she spoke. She gave a great talk. She's on a big tour of the U.S., and she's driving down to San Diego, and she's going to be driving. She's just amazing. She's just never wears out. But Nicole says also that you need to have some cash on hand. What you need to do is find out if there's anything that you really don't have that you really need. First thing that came to my mind would be communications. On the 2 acres I have here and where I live, we've gotten some FM handheld radios that give us the ability to communicate with each other under the assumption that other things might go down. You might look into that. But other than that, hold on to some cash for sure. Okay, we have another question from Michael. Hold on, let me get it open all the way. Michael Snellings, approximately 10 years on the life of the planet if we... here's the answer to the wheat question. You can store for up to 10 years on the life of the wheat if kept at a constant 70-degree Fahrenheit temperature. And I would assume with desiccants to suck out any humidity in the air, too. But that's a pretty good answer. I'm glad we got that. Thank you, Michael. Okay, we got another one from LP to the Lifeboat Hour. You sound remarkably cheery given the dire situation that's staring us in the face. What gives? That's because I took a little break, man. And that's what I'm encouraging everybody to do because, yes, it's getting scary, but we have a chance to take a break now. And what I'm foreseeing pretty quickly is that there's going to be a time where we may not have the windows for that. So this is the time to go out and catch your breath and reconnect with the important things. Things that will sustain you as things get squirrelier and squirrelier. What do we got next? Hi, Susan Milici, or Milici. I am a self-employed and pay taxes quarterly. So far for 11, I have not paid in and have felt very resistant. I would rather use the cash for land and other valuable resources that my family and friends will need for our lifeboat. Any ideas on how aggressive the IRS will continue to be in collecting during this collapse? That is a wonderful question. That's one I don't have the complete answer to. I suspect at this point, and these issues are going to become front and center very, very soon, Susan. I suspect that they're going to be pretty aggressive in the near term. But I also can clearly see that there's going to come a point in time or if they start going after individuals who are already struggling, I'm sure those formulas have been worked out somewhere in the deep, dark bowels of, all those where all these thought processes are gone through by the government planners. There's a balance point at which they risk triggering civil unrest, and I think they're more afraid of civil unrest at this point. So what I'm saying is I suspect that reasonably soon, the will or the ability of the government to collect taxes, as we've known, is going to fade. That's inevitable. That's what collapse is. I think the U.S. government is going down. I just can't tell you how soon. Okay, we've got now a question from Rick Dawson. Hi, Mike. I know that the focus seems to be on precious metals when people write in and wanted to toss out the thought that other trade goods may be of greater value in a collapsing society than metals, which, although they can be traded, cannot be eaten or worn. Ground black pepper, as an example, was a trade good ages ago and maybe again as things cannot be moved across oceans. ditto cloth of various types, spare parts or machinery, just a thought. That's a very good thought, Rick. That's very, very true. You know, I recommended a mix. I never said anybody should put everything into precious metal. And as has been borne out over the decade or more that I've been bullish on gold and silver, is that people have held on to or increased their wealth as a result. Trade goods, and I'm clearly seeing where I'm becoming part of a lifeboat movement here in Sonoma County, is that trade goods are very important. I'm kind of living in an emergency, not emergency, but emerging economy here, where traded services in lieu of exchanging money and traded and shared goods is going to be very important. And I think the deeper you are embedded into a local community, the more important trade goods will be, because that way you strengthen the community. Okay. I almost caught up. All right. Brian Burgess of the Lifeboat Hour. Mike, congratulations on CollapseNet passing the one-year milestone. I'll come to rely on you and your team for my daily news briefing. Thank you, man. That's why we're there. That's the backbone. I got into local politics because I thought state and federal government was increasingly dysfunctional. Good observation. I could make a difference in my community. I'm beginning to worry that holding an elected office, even at the local level, is making me a target for angry, frustrated citizens looking for someone to blame. Is it worth it? I'm debating on whether to run for re-election this fall. What are your thoughts? Great questions tonight. I mean, I really appreciate these questions a lot. Brian, we'll start with the ham and egg breakfast. The chicken's involved, but the pig is committed, and that's a question you answer for yourself. But, you know, there are other questions. How effective do you see yourself being? Do you, you know, is everything feeling futile? I don't think so. And I really think that this next year or so is going to be the most important year ever in the history of relationships between local governments and their citizens. Local governments are going to be the last government standing. And there will be enormous changes that come as a result of this. I mean, there's going to come a time when maybe the people are going to, not maybe, when the people will be much more willing to address the serious questions of collapse. And that's when having a local government in place that's aware becomes so critical. So critical. Because you still have something in place that you can build on. Hopefully to help the people who live where you live adapt on their own, relying on themselves and each other. It's going to take a hell of a person to be a political leader in the years that come. And the greatest ones that I think we may have ever seen on this planet will emerge at the local levels. And I just sit with that one, brother, and maybe you can get out and get back in again. But know that local leaders like you are definitely going to be indispensable very soon. Okay, now, kind of caught up on the emails, I think. Yes, I have. All right, so I want to go back to some of these stories that I had that I wanted to bring up to you. No way we're going to get to them all. Asian stocks drop, equaling post-Lehman decline on U.S. growth concerns. That's from Bloomberg. Just a couple days ago. I mean, the stock markets are crashing, in case you haven't noticed it. Nine consecutive really bad weeks for markets around the world, and that's just beginning. And we haven't got to QE3 yet. QE3 will have absolutely no positive impact. They just can't print money anymore. And, of course, it is the perfect storm. Here's another chuckle story. This is one of those stories that really made me laugh. This came out of Reuters on June 10th, just a couple days ago. So a congressional delegation from the House of Representatives, including Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, who is in crossing the Rubicon, by the way, the surfing congressman from California, issued a press statement that the Iraqi people should pay the United States reparations. I'm sorry, I just... What? Okay, let me get this straight. September 11th happens, and all of a sudden, George Bush and Dick Cheney are saying that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11, which, of course, now we know he didn't do. We go in and we blow up the country, kill tens and hundreds of thousands of people, pollute the environment with depleted uranium. We terrorize and blow everything, and then partition, and Rohrabacher wants them to pay us reparations. I told you things were going to get crazy. So the Iraqi government turned the congressional delegation around. They said, "You're not welcome." I started clapping for that. Okay, now on the downside, this is truly a sign of collapse. World's biggest refugee camp runs out of space. It's a camp in Kenya, but that's happening, and this is something that we've all knew was going to happen during collapse, was that humanitarian aid functions would be overwhelmed and would soon cease to be able to function, and looks like we're reaching tipping points all over the place with that. And here's like the oops of the week. Zero Hedge caught it again. Electric company of Saudi Arabia warns country may run out of oil by 2030. What? Now, this is the Saudi Arabia who has been promising to increase production to 10 million barrels a day, which it never has in its life, and it can't possibly now. This is the Saudi Arabia that has just been, you know, denying what Matthew Simmons told us so clearly 5 years ago now. The guy who runs the Saudi Electric Company, let me see if I can find this quote here. Saudi said to have overstated crude reserves by 300 billion barrels or 40%, and now Saudi Arabia's very own electricity company would coordinate their story. And a little notice comment by Abdel Salam Al-Yamani. Oh, he's related to Sheikh Yamani, head of the Saudi Electric Company in Al-Mashqa, which so far has been captured only by El Economista magazine, has provided the most recent insider confirmation of peak oil, a very troubling development for those who still naively believe that Saudi Arabia has any marginal boosting capacity or, more importantly, is willing to risk pumping more than possible. But anyway, what this guy said was, here's the quote. The report published in the magazine of Al-Mashqa of the company itself says that the increase in domestic consumption of oil is one of the main challenges facing the country, mainly because oil accounts for 80% of the national income. And then it went on to say, the electricity company of Saudi Arabia said that oil in the country could be depleted by 2030. But the Saudis still insist that they have all this extra oil to bring us. So we are living in a truly, truly crazy world. Let me see some of the other stories here. There were just so many today, and I closed it. There were just so many this week, and where I'm still stuck with, and I'm gonna stay with this for a minute. We really need to look for civil unrest, rising crime rates, hijacking of food shipments, and infrastructure scavenging. There's one scene from one movie, The War of the Worlds, the 1954 version, where civilization's coming to an end, and there's one truck full of goods, scientific equipment that needed to possibly save the whole human race. But what happens? The panic mob hijacks the truck and smashes all the equipment. And that's something that really scares me about the infrastructure scavenging. We have seen in England this week, a train in England, a passenger train, some distance outside of London. I think it was eight feet sections of rail were taken. The train came to a stop, and the passengers were trapped inside. They couldn't get out, and they finally, after many hours in there, broke out of the train and walked several miles to safety. Last week, we also had a CSX train derail in Massachusetts because thieves had stolen the tracks. They're now scaling telephone poles to take transformers and phone wires. In Los Angeles, several months ago, I was talking to people at an eco-village in Los Angeles, and the streetlights in their neighborhood had been stripped of copper wire. And that was apparently happening all over Los Angeles. So I think we need to probably start thinking about what kinds of surprises these things might bring us. If, for example,
somebody scavenges something that shuts down something critical, local, whether it be communications, electricity, power at a hospital, whatever. And these are the kinds of things that are going to increase exponentially as we go further. And I'm pretty convinced that as it was with exponential growth, I think the rate of collapse is going to accelerate rapidly. Those are things that really bother me, because I don't know that there is a plan that you can make to anticipate that, except for, again, to reinforce anything you're doing to be able to generate electricity where you live, and any other sources of key functions, whether it's internet or whatever, to keep going in the event that. And what I found where I am on 2 acres here, we have a well, and increasingly concerned about power interruptions, because there's two other houses that use our well. We're getting solar panel well pump, which will give us some flexibility there. There are certain things that you just can't do without, and water is definitely one of them. So that's what I'm going to be looking for as things progress. We're down to about the last 5 minutes. Let me find another couple of juicy stories out of the ones. I had about 15, 20 stories, and that was in case nobody called in, but that's not happening. Oh, okay. Leon Panetta. This is from Christian Science Monitor, June 9th. CIA Chief Leon Panetta, the next Pearl Harbor could be a cyber attack. Leon Panetta, at a confirmation hearing for the post of Defense Secretary, says the U.S. will need to take both defensive as well as aggressive measures to deal with the threat of cyber attack. My only comment to that is, uh-oh. And here's what I'm going to, a couple from CNN that I'm going to leave you with. Did you guys see the Jack Cafferty thing this week on CNN, where he did like 5 minutes on how much civil unrest is coming? It was an amazing watch. I mean, it's like Cafferty had been reading the World News Desk at CollapseNet for about the last year. But this is all, now it's kind of being pumped, which is also kind of scary on the mainstream media. There's a lot of things to worry about. Drug shortages for critical drugs and prescription medications are increasing at a horrendous rate around the country right now. From CNN Money, the number of drug shortages is at a record high, and the Food and Drug Administration is warning that they are getting even worse. If you haven't started looking into herbal medicines and holistic healing, you need to do that if there are drugs that you might have to replace. Thieves now climbing poles to steal copper. That happened in Seattle this week, and it's happening everywhere, so that's why we have the news sections. This is from Forbes. The worst market in 9 years spells worsening woes. I mean, the stuff is so transparent now and in your face. And, of course, the European meltdown continues. We've just had, I think it's 1,500 people killed in Syria, and the world is just getting ready to explode. I don't know what else to say, in one way or another. Explode, implode at the same time. It's going to be messy. But here we are on the Lifeboat Hour. Collapse at the Progressive Radio Network. We have it on CollapseNet. We are not the slowest campers. That's what we need to remember. We need to be grateful for that. So I'll be back to you next week with another show. May or may not have a guest, but 2 weeks from tonight, mark it down, our guest will be Max Kaiser of the Kaiser Report and Russia Times, RT-TV, and that's going to be a popper. So we will be back with you next week, and I'll look forward to it. Take care. Have a good week. Bye.